Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Thomas Jellamy, welcome to the conversation today.
Thank you very much for having me, John.
It's a pleasure to be with you. You were a guest a couple of years ago. It's great to have you back. You're joining us from Munich, and I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. Today, we're going to be talking about fostering a resilient environment within the workplace. As we get started, I wanted to share Thomas's bio with everybody. For more than two decades, Thomas Jellamy has been an executive coach facilitator, member of the Forbes Coaches Council, and sparring partner supporting leaders and teams in their development at various levels and in numerous industries. He focuses on developing personal and interpersonal competence in leadership, teamwork, and customer relations. For his practice, he draws on an extraordinary biography with exciting milestones. Besides his many years of professional experience in various management positions, he spent 7 years with Swissair, the former Swiss national airline. In the worldwide leadership and training of cabin crew and in contact with international customers at 30,000 feet, he experienced firsthand how important a high level of personal and interpersonal competence is for effective human interactions. Now, Thomas, I could keep going. You have so much in your background, but I want to pause there. Anything else you would like to highlight by way of your background or personal context before we dive on it?
Yeah, maybe just one thing that I became aware of much later in my biography. I, for a long time, had the impression that I was a bit zigzagging through my professional path, right? I earned my first money cutting people's hair. Then I joined a circus for 2 years, toured around, this and that, and some job hopping. And then I joined Swissair and finally found something where I could, you know, contribute with who I am. Looking back, the red thread is very clear. It was always about people. And I was already having deep conversations and listening to stories while I was cutting people's hair.
Very good.
So the red thread is there.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, so as we dive on in today to the broader topic, maybe you can share a little bit about your philosophy, generally speaking, around resilience. And then we can start to explore strategies on how we can create and, you know, foster and sustain a more resilient environment in the workplace.
Yes, I'd love to. Well, I mostly focus on leadership development in my work. Mm-hmm. So I help people in leading positions to further develop their leadership personality, much more than skills or competencies or methods and techniques. It's really about becoming a leader. And this has two main components. One is a well-developed personal competence, which basically means being in touch with yourself, having a good relationship with yourself, and a well-established interpersonal competence, because it's about interacting with other people. Leadership is influence, right?
Yeah.
And personal is the prerequisite, is the basis for interpersonal. And so if we want to create foster an environment or a culture of resilience, it all begins with ourselves and our own resilience.
And let's explore that a little bit. So I agree. I think anytime we're trying to do anything within a team, within an organizational setting, the leader sets the tone and leads by example as much as anything. And so if you're trying to influence others, you know, in creating a resilient workplace, resilient team members, resilient bench strength, you know, people can step in to future roles and challenging responsibilities. It starts with you. You have to be able to, you know, be resilient yourself, demonstrate that resilience to your people. How do we start that process? You know, especially in this day and age where I think it's probably never been harder to be a leader. The world is almost, it seems, infinitely complex. Constant disruptions. We're being expected to constantly pivot and be agile, all while also looking out for, the well-being of our people. There's a lot on the plate of leaders right now. And I think a lot of leaders feel overwhelmed. Oftentimes, they just feel like it's the best thing I can do to just like put out the fires every day, let alone, try to do anything more long-term strategic or culture building in orientation.
Yeah, absolutely right. The environment in which organizations operate today, and in which leaders lead, and in which employees have to do their job has changed and keeps changing. Everybody's aware with VUCA. Everybody knows the term VUCA, right? This has been used for decades to characterize the volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity of our environment. We are at a point today where VUCA is becoming a thing of the past. And there's already a new acronym coming up on the horizon, and that's BANI. BANI stands for the four main characteristics of today's environment post-pandemic: brittle, anxious, non-linear, and incomprehensible. So if you think of VUCA and BANI, BANI hits the nail much better than VUCA, right? Today, things seem to be falling apart and become brittle. People are, in one way or another, in various shapes and colors, anxious, tense, stressed. There's a lot of fear if we look into society and into workplaces. Things have become non-linear in the sense of no more, clear cause and effect. If I do this, this will happen. Or what happened is the consequence of what happened before. It has become much less predictable and therefore incomprehensible. And in this environment, we as leaders should be giving confidence, orientation, clarity, guidance, while at the same time being affected by the very same aspects of the environment ourselves. So this is highly challenging, as you already mentioned. And one of the first things to do when we want to increase our own resilience is to understand what we can change and influence and what we cannot. And to come to this distinction very clearly and as quick as possible in any given situation. Because it's a pillar of resilience, this what I call radical acceptance of the unchangeable. Because in any situation that we encounter, any conditions under which we operate or live, there are always aspects that are what they are, and we cannot change anything about them. We can not do anything about them. And then there's like a circle of influence, some aspects where we have choices, where we can change something, where we at least have some influence. The thing is that often we are stuck in resistance against how things are. We hear this often from employees, from people in organizations. Ah, it shouldn't be the way they are running it now. The decision shouldn't have been made like that. It's wrong. I would have done it differently. Well, yes, okay, you can vent for a moment, but ideally, if you're very resilient, you come to a point very quickly where you understand this has been decided, this is going to happen, this is the change that is going to be executed, and there's nothing we can change. So, what is the only healthy and logical way of dealing with something we cannot change? Accept it. Accept it and let it go. Acceptance and letting go is the same side, or are two sides of the same coin. Only when I have fully accepted something, I can let it go. And letting go means I do not bother any longer. I do not I don't keep thinking about it all the time. I let it go and I focus on something else, on the things that I can change and control. And this radical acceptance does not mean I agree. It does not mean I'm okay with it. I support it.
Yeah.
No, I can be against it, but still accept it because it already happens and it is what it is. That's one core element of resilience.
Yeah. So I think that's a really important point. And it's one I struggle with, I'll admit, because I'm one, I always use the mantra, be soft on people, hard on systems. And so if something is problematic, if it's hurting people, whether intentional or not, I want to push for change of that thing. And a lot of times within organizations, there's policies, practices, procedures that for one reason or another damage or hurt people or exploit people or in some way do harm, right? And on the one hand, I'm like, okay, it's outside of my sphere of influence. I can't cause change in this area. I just need to do what I can and move on. And save my energy, for things I can influence. Now, on the other hand, I hate that because I want to be able to push and influence those things and bring about, change that I think will make the organization more healthy. And I know a lot of people feel that way. That's that's a hard tension, right? To deal with. And I think what you're highlighting here is an important distinction. Like, in no way am I acknowledging, pleasure or satisfaction with something that may be harming people in from my perspective, just because I've come to a level of acceptance that this is what it is. I can continue to strategize. I can continue to try to see how I can influence things in a positive way, but I also it's not sustainable for me to run around, beating my head against a brick wall endlessly. And all I'm going to do is deplete myself and deplete those around me, and I'm not going to be able to drive any change anyways, right? So I think what you're suggesting, what I'm hearing is if we have that radical acceptance, it's not like burying our head in the sand. It's not pretending like everything's fine. It's not just deciding, okay, I guess if everyone else is doing it, I'm going to do it too, and now I'm complicit. But it's just recognizing spheres of influence, what I can and cannot control. And then leaning into what I can control, the influence that I do have, and being strategic about how I utilize my limited time, energy, mental bandwidth, et cetera.
Absolutely. Because with this attitude and mindset, you free up capacity and energy that's important in those areas where you can actually do something. And you can still, try to address the topic and set impulses and highlight that you think is wrong. But while you're doing that, you are in a state of acceptance of how it currently is until something may eventually change. And that's a completely different energy. And it's more energy, like more energy for what is relevant. And as a leader, yes, especially when you're somewhere in a middle management position where you're always torn between or in a loyalty conflict between am I loyal towards my management and the policy and the strategy of the organization, or am I loyal to my team and my people, right? That can be a lot of tension. So especially there, it's a way can be to accept the things that have been decided or the strategy, even if I may only agree to a certain extent, maybe to 70, 80%, and 20% I disagree, I still fully commit to it and then support my people in handling it and dealing with it. These are the facts. This is the strategy. This is the decision that was made. Now, how are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do? What can we influence? How can we shape it and form it in such a way that it's okay for us and we can perform at our best within the given circumstances?
Excellent. All right, so we can come to that radical acceptance. We start to have internal resilience. We start to model that for our team, for our people. Now, what else can we do from a strategic point of view to start to foster that environment of resilience, not just within ourselves, but within our team?
Yes. So two more, actually three more pillars of resilience besides the radical acceptance. Another one is optimism. Choosing a mindset of optimism, an optimistic mindset. And optimism is not to be mixed up with naive positivity or even toxic positivity. Right? Running around the organization saying, yeah, everything is fine. Yeah, ignore the issues. Focus on the positive. Think positive. That's not optimism. That's denial. And this can be toxic, actually. And you can undermine your own credibility and trust if you do that. Optimism means believing in a positive outcome despite the conditions or amidst adversity, when you feel like everything's brittle and things seem to be falling apart, you still strongly believe in a positive outcome and that we are, as a team or as an organization, going to come out of this the other end and we'll be fine. And radiating this confidence, that's leadership. That's leadership. So optimism, and this goes hand in hand with solution focus. What does that mean? Solution focus is the question, what do I focus on for myself? Where do I put my focus of attention mainly? What do I think about mostly? And what do my conversations focus on? And to give you a simple example, let's say something happened, somebody made a mistake, customer complains, internal customer, external customer, doesn't matter. Now, of course, we have to have a meeting. Now, a problem-focused meeting will be based on questions like, why did this happen and who's responsible? Whose fault is it? And you can almost sense what kind of an emotional climate these questions will generate in that meeting, and what this will do to people, and how they will come out of that meeting. A solution-focused meeting, same event, would be based on questions like, how did this happen? What needs to be done now? How can we support you? What can we learn from this? Totally different energy, totally different vibe. And people are going to come out that meeting in a totally different emotional state, which will be much more productive. And they will go and do what was agreed, right? And this depends, of course, on our own perception and what we focus on as leaders. Now, here comes the challenge. The challenge is called negative bias. And I'm sure you know what I mean. A negative bias is one of many, many biases we have in our thinking and in our perception. What it means is we tend to perceive anything negative that's potentially threatening to us much stronger and much bigger, and it has more weight, and we react more strongly to it than anything positive, that anything that's going well. That's very human. It's not wrong. It's human. It's natural because it has to do with survival. It's very old, right? However, if you are in this negative bias problem-solving mode as a leader all the time, what do you see when you walk around the organization? Problems, issues, everything that's not the way it should be. And then what will you talk about with people? What will you give feedback about everything that's not working well? And that creates a certain atmosphere and climate. And I hear a lot from people, well, I only hear from my boss when something's wrong and something happened. When everything's going fine and well, I don't hear anything. And I usually tell them, well, look, that's no bad intention. That's just problem-solving mode. Now, the good news is we can shift and expand our focus of attention so that we also see and perceive what's going well and what people do well and the little successes here and there and what we could be proud of, right? The thing is, we have to intentionally pay attention to it and make a decision to also notice and, try to see when someone does something well. It takes a conscious decision. And if we do that, I mean, the magic happens. If you start telling people the good things that you see in what they do and how they do things, first they will look at you and think, what happened? Until you, right? Did you take a course or something? Until they understand what you're doing and why this is so important, and help everybody else to also expand their focus of attention and not ignore all the good things that are happening. And the culture changes over time by one experience after the other, one conversation after the other. When I come out of conversation that I was nervous about with my boss, and I come out, we have discussed a difficult topic and an issue, and I feel good about how it went. Wow, that's a completely different story. And this builds resilience, among other things. So again, it starts with ourselves.
I really like that. And again, it's not about putting your head in the sand. It's not about
No.
ignoring the challenges and trying to be proactive about addressing those issues that you see. I think any good leader will spend a good amount of their time trying to address and resolve those sorts of issues. But you have to have a
Absolutely.
level of optimism. I mean, all, to just to be able to stay sustainable and not burn out, you have to have optimism. Because there are always problems. I mean, give me any organization. I don't care how excellent the leader is. I don't care how good the people are. I don't care, about how many awards it's won. Every organization with people have issues, have lots of issues, right?
Yes.
And it's because we're human and we're messy, and there's always issues that you have to work through. And so just acknowledging that, acknowledging, yes, there are challenges. Yes, we are working at it. We're building the plane while we're flying it. We're not going to ignore the issues. We're going to address them head on. But we're going to do it with a positive mindset. We're going to do it from a growth mindset, that we're going to learn from these setbacks. And that level of
Yes.
like ingenuity and innovation and just the overall energy around and the positivity around that kind of a mindset and approach is so dramatically different than what we've all experienced when we're around somebody who's just, always negative, like always just
Oh.
kind of complaining, always whining. It's
Oh
not
yeah.
I mean, it's not that they see things other people don't see. Maybe they do, but I mean, most of the time it's just they're only focusing on the negative
Yes.
and they're ignoring the positive, or they're ignoring the growth opportunities that are coming
Yes.
from this. And so it is a tension, and it is something you have to balance. Because I'm not, all about being Pollyanna-ish and just ignoring the hard things and pretending like everything is okay. But I think having a realistic understanding of the challenges we face while having an internal optimism that we can do better, that we can learn together, and that we will figure this out, that is what
Yes.
people need on your team. So I need to be able to model that for my people. I need them to see that I have that positivity and that I have that overall optimism around what we're trying to
Yes.
accomplish, and regardless of the challenges we might be facing, and then encourage them to do the same. And like you mentioned, point out the good things, model that
Yeah.
by expressing gratitude and pointing out the wins, and
Yeah.
yes, acknowledging the challenges, but also where have we come? Like, where did we start, and where have we come, and where are we going? That's what leadership is, right?
Exactly. And it's often small things, that are improving, that are getting better. There's this beautiful, quote that really summarizes negative bias in one sentence. It says, "One falling tree makes more noise than a whole forest growing at the same time." Right? So we tend to focus on those falling trees when there's so much growing. We just have to look at it and pay attention. And I liked how you just said, a more realistic view, because that's what it is when we're optimistic and we're also including all the good stuff in our awareness. That's realistic. It's n I'm more much less biased, right? And yes, we have problems and issues because we're humans and it can get messy, you just said. And I go even one step further, that problems and issues are in the nature of work and businesses. We're here for that. It's about solving one problem after the other, and it will never end. Believing that we will one day reach a point where finally we have resolved all the issues and problems and we can finally relax and do our work. That's a myth. It will never happen, ever. And just accepting this and understanding that life is difficult and work is difficult and there's one problem after the other. Accepting this radically can already, relax in a way because you're not expecting something else to happen.
Absolutely. Well, Thomas, this has just been a real pleasure. I note the time. I need to let you go here in just a minute. But before we wrap things up for today, I wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, your team, and then give us the final word on the topic for today.
Okay, wonderful. So you can find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And just reach out to me, connect with me, visit my website, send me a message if you're interested to talk and to discuss. And the final word for today would be to just make the next step into more resilience, for example, or into more optimism, or into more the ability of radical acceptance. You're not supposed to make a big leap and tomorrow morning, yeah, I got it. And now I'm like resilience level from 60 to 100%. No, that's not how it works. What is the next best thing I can do to start moving in the right direction? And one little thing could be to sit down at the end of the day, take a pen and a sheet of paper or tablet, whatever it may be, and write down what went well today. And what did I do well today? And just write down what comes to mind so that you set your self-perception straight, right? And then ask yourself, even though I may not have achieved everything on my list today, did I give my best? Did I do what was possible under the given circumstances? Yes, I did. That's a reason to pat yourself on the shoulder and say, well done. That was a good day. And now you deserve a good rest and disconnect. So that will be my final word. Small
Well
things, baby
said.
steps.
Baby steps. Well said. Thomas, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I encourage
Thank
the
you.
audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Thomas could do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe. They can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.